And this morning, Jerry Burris joins us to talk about the Hawaii races. Burris is the former political reporter and opinion page editor at the Honolulu Advertiser. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning. How are you after a late night?
Yes. Well, it was an interesting night. Yes, for so many people. So I guess the big race here in Honolulu, the mayor's race.
Yep. Well, it was incontrovertibly it was Rick Blanchardi. I mean, he won handily. And so that's pretty much a mandate to come in and be the mayor. But the question is how is he going to deal with a council, which would be a new experience for him? He's used to being an administrator and the boss. And when you're in politics, when you're in city government, you're not the boss, you're the mayor. But the council is also considers themselves the boss. So you're going to have an interesting dynamic there going forward as they settle out their relationships.
Yeah, and, you know, he will have a learning curve. You know, we've watched other mayors come in from the outside with no experience running a city. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of team he formulates.
Well, here's my guess. You want to hear something?
I think
that somewhere in the Blanchardi administration, you're going to find Colleen Hanabusa, who is an experienced political person, and she kind of balances off against Rich, who's kind of new to politics, although not new to administration. So she might become managing director.
That's an interesting name.
It's not that I know anything. It's just I'm just a guess there because she did endorse him in the campaign.
Right, and I'm sure then you know we've seen his backers. You know they draw from certainly a broad range you know of folks in the community, and we'll see who steps up to join his team.
Of course, you know one of the interesting things about this race is it was more on the other side of Keith Amamiya. Made it a Democrat versus what he attempted to make it a Democrat versus Republican race. And, you know, he campaigned ardently as a Democrat, although Blanchardi didn't really identify that way. But so it'd be interesting whether the Democrats in the town and on the council, even though they're nonpartisan officially, will be able to cooperate with and work with Blanchardi as the new mayor.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you were around certainly when that change happened, right? It was Patsy Mink led the charge when the three councilmen switched parties.
Yeah.
And, you know, that led to a tumultuous time. But then that took the politics out of it. So, yeah, it was interesting that Amamiya tapped the Democratic Party folks to help him in his campaign.
But don't think that, although it's nonpartisan officially, don't think that people don't have partisan affiliations and leanings going forward. And although I don't know how much that plays out in sewers and roads and so forth, but it still plays out in some occasions.
Well, it'd be curious because when you look at the union endorsements, right, what government unions stood behind Amamiya in the campaign.
And, a number of them, although yes. I guess Blanchardi got the police union,
mm-hmm.
which is critical right now.
Yeah, so it'll be interesting to see what happens during negotiations and how
One of the things that I'm sure that the new administration will be watching for, be trying to learn about is, you know, we use the phrase the deep state kind of loosely in the national level where, you know, there's this level of bureaucrats and officials who just, no matter what elected officials do, they really run the government. And that may not be true 100%, but there is kind of an institutional bureaucracy in the city that you need to work with and you need to have cooperation from. I mean, you can't just order them to do things. It's a political situation. So one of the first tasks for the new mayor will be to establish a working relationship with what you could call the deep state or the established bureaucracy in the city. And that's going to be interesting to watch because 90-95% of the people making decisions are not elected.
The other thing is really the council, because you've got a lot of new people on the council. And you know some are veteran lawmakers,
yep.
And a number of them are women.
That's good. It's a good mix there. And the race, I guess, we're watching most closely is Augie Tuba versus Willie Aspero, which is Augie seems to have won it, but it's very close. And there are still a few votes to be counted out there. And that could, I suppose, they're going to wait a little bit on that to make sure. But that's one that otherwise everything looks in line.
Right. But you've got Esther Kiaina coming in with a large margin over Greg Thielen, Radiant Cordero, you know, coming in for District 7.
And she's basically inheriting the district from her boss, her previous boss, Joey Manahan.
Right, so it'll be interesting to see how the council works with the new mayor.
They will work well at the beginning, and then we'll stop working well as things go the way they always have.
Okay. What about the neighbor islands?
Well, I think you've talked about Mitch, you know, on the Big Island, mm-hmm. the mayor's race there. One of the interesting things was on Maui, where they decided they didn't like term limits.
Yeah.
Which is kind of interesting, because on Oahu, as you know, there was overwhelming support for term limits for the prosecutor. But for some reason, so if you're looking for a theme for the whole election, is it a public revolt? Is it out with the old-timers and in with the newcomers? Well, I can't really think you could say that, because in one case, like in Oahu, we got a new mayor who has no political experience. And on the other hand, we have other islands where they're saying, no, we don't want term limits. We kind of like continuity. So it's an interesting kind of mix there.
Right. In the Honolulu prosecutor's office, you've got Steve Alm, who's you know, an experienced lawmaker, and so
he's going to have no trouble. He's going to step right into it. He's been in the trenches before. He knows the office. He knows what works and what doesn't work. And I think that'll be a fairly smooth transition right there.
And then, as far as some of the initiatives that we were keeping a close watch on Maui, I know we had talked initially about that managing directors.
Well, folks figured out that they don't want two mayors on Maui. They only want one.
Yeah, you saw it as like a power grab.
It was. It was sort of a, I mean, I don't know if it was a deliberate power grab, but that's the net result of it. If you have a managing director who's not directly responsive, you know, is appointed not strictly by the mayor, you're going to have a separate office of power there. And so I think the voters on Maui recognize that there's a possibility for a lot of trouble there, a lot of pilikia, if you have two, in effect, two mayors.
Well, I did talk to someone who was with the losing side, who said, well, you know, no, it's not that way at all, that this was something that, you know, they've been working on for many years, and they were using, you know, other models on the mainland where this is in play. So really disputed that fact that it was a power grab. But voters obviously thought.
I mean, it may not have been a power grab in that person's mind, but as a result, you have two centers of power.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they have strong mayor systems across the country and weak mayor systems. In some cities and some counties, it's the managing director runs everything, and the mayor is an elected figurehead. But in Hawaii, we've tended to have the elected mayor being the center of power and the managing director being subservient. And so I guess they'd like to keep it that way.
And then the other thing that was interesting was this Department of Agriculture.
Yeah, well, I think that one was, as we talked about before, I think there was an interest in it's the anti-GMO group that are really focused on that.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. And you know, I mean, obviously the water rights are still very sensitive there on Maui, and now there's a big push, you know, to be self-reliant with our COVID filter. And so, yeah, how is that office going to work? And, you know, it'll be interesting to watch.
Yeah, now that they have a Department of Agriculture, or will have, it depends on how that's going to be an advocate for ag, and it depends on will it be an advocate for big ag, which is the traditional thing that's happened in Hawaii. In other words, speaking for pineapple and sugar, or will it be an advocate for small ag and diversified ag and non-GMO? And I think that's the direction they're hoping it's going to go.
Yeah, so all very interesting, and we will see then how this actually plays out in 2021.
One thing is, I noticed that I was kind of surprised that the number of votes for Trump in Hawaii, he got about 30-some percent. But it didn't seem to be, there weren't any coattails there. I didn't see any Republicans elected that you weren't expecting to be.
Yeah, I think even in the House, I think they lost some ground there.
They lost some ground there. Sam Sloan was trying to make a comeback out in Hawaii Kai, and he didn't make it. He got a little bit more than the president did in terms of total vote, but he still fell short to Stanley Chang. So this certainly wasn't a year for the Republicans in Hawaii.
Right. Okay. All right. Well, thanks so much, Jerry. Appreciate your time.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We were talking to political analyst Jerry Burris about the various Hawaii races and the outcome of 2020 general election.